ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I can't believe we're almost halfway through May already.
Isn't
wow.
It Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Happy New Year. You'll
be
here next week.
First one. Yeah. I know it. Well, you know, we didn't get a Christmas present today in gold. Had a little pressure on gold, but that's okay. 310 to the downside at $1,297. Silver's down up two pennies today at 1487. Platinum was up a buck at 859, and palladium was up 13 at 1,343. The USDX today, of course, was stronger, up 0.14 at 97.52. Crude oil was up 68 cents at 61.72. And let's see, the paper markets today, of course, after that big 700 low yesterday, it didn't close, it was a little above 600, I believe, but the big dip was 700. It came back. You know, they have everybody conditioned. Oh, you buy on the dips. You buy on the dips. This is how we keep the stock market going. And you just keep buying on those dips. The Dow was up 207 points today at 25,532. The NASDAQ was up 87 at 77.34. And the S&P was up 22 at 2,834. 10-year yield, 2.42%. That was up a 0.01. And London was down over 1%. Was up 1%. Hong Kong was down 1.5%. And, you know, that's pretty much it. The big debate is, you know, tariffs.
Yeah, it
tariffs,
is.
Tariffs and tariffs.
You know, it seems like the market's almost immune to anything really shaking it for more than a day or two. It's amazing. And people buying the dips, why don't they buy the dips for precious metals, something that's not going to go away?
I know.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to figure that out in 25 years, except other than they get the pressure from their financial planners, and financial planners say, hey, you don't want to do that. But if you really want to get into gold, we got these ETFs for you. And so, you know, perhaps we can, you don't have to buy the whole ounce, just buy a portion of it. I mean, it's silly. It's just paper. It's promises to pay, and they've never been audited, kind of like the Bitcoins and everything else. They've created, and you know what? These are programs that people never get their money out of, and that's a sad thing. You know?
It is a sad thing. But again, I can't, the market's really, I mean, the big dip yesterday, and I thought, well, maybe this will be serious enough. It'll be, people will see the true colors of the market, but right back up the day it goes. So, it seemed to be, we'll say, invincible to anything that's really tearing it down. It can't go forever, but I'm shocked that it's maintained what it has.
Well, what I'll tell you, what the market seems to have attached itself to is what Trump says. It's not what the Federal Reserve says anymore, barely, but it's what President Trump says. And we talked about this yesterday, where it's been like a cry wolf. One minute there's a, you know, we're almost in an agreement, then all of a sudden, oh, well, we're not going to do it with them, and we're going to slap more tariffs on them, and, you know, then China reacts, and the markets react. And the next day, and today, he came out, and again, it's just like, well, you know, I'm sure we'll get something done and this and that. And, I'm sure we'll come to an agreement. And this is for both good to the countries and so forth and whatnot. So, you know, although China comes out and said he vows a people's war, you know, the big headlines, he blasts the greedy and arrogant Trump. Doesn't sound like he's being nice to that they have a warm and fuzzy relationship. We forget that the farmers are feeling the pain.
Well, now, is this kind of relationship he has with the UN and North Korea, same kind of warm, fuzzy relationship?
Yeah.
I don't think either one is progressing very far. I don't think they're holding hands yet.
I mean, I hope for the best of outcome, and I hope this is just all theatrics.
I do, too, but
I hope it's all theatrics, but
I'm not going to count on that because, whether we like it or not, these tariffs are going to hurt some people, and I know some people are all for them, and I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, Melody. But many people, and you're going to mention the farmers, I'll mention two in a minute, but the farmers are really feeling the pain right now.
And,
they truly
and
are.
You know what? When I think of theatrics, I think of 2020. And I think if we go through this up and down and President Trump calling, you know, crying wolf, and then it gets better and crying wolf, and then we finally come up with an agreement, that will help his election.
Hmm.
So my question is this all about 2020?
Is it all a show? Is it all a show?
It's, you know, all in the headlines. You know, there's other things that are just as important. And most people can't figure out what a tariff is anyway. You know, they don't understand. You know, and everybody talks about, you know, the stock market came back, recovered because of our strong economy. And, you know, we've had the 3.2 GDP. And you know, we hear that, you know, the tariffs that are being received has helped our GDP. Was that what our GDP is based on? A part of it? Is tariffs? How does that make a great economy for us? Do you really think those companies are going to bring back their manufacturing to the United States when they can so easily go to Vietnam and everywhere else?
Well, let me ask you a question, because I know that you're a lot more up on this than I am. A tariff is supposed to be a halter on trade, imports, to make it more fair and the balance for us to do the opposite, I suppose. But in a tariff, who eventually ends up paying it? Does not the consumer end up paying most of it anyway?
It should trickle down, but I mean, in the beginning, you had these tariffs that were already based in the products. You didn't have natural inflation like we have, because we have a fiat currency.
True.
And tariffs did make America great. I mean, it really did. And Pat Buchanan has a great article out about...
I saw that.
Yeah. But his bottom line is, at the very end, after he touts about how great... And that's what I said yesterday. Tariffs were great. I believe in the tariffs. We should have tariffs. But it's too late for them to be effective in today's world. And so,
who does it hurt most in the long run?
Well, it's going to hurt everybody. It is going to hurt companies. It is going to hurt the consumer. You're gonna have prices rise. We're bringing back the inflation. You know, so you know we're going to get some inflation and so forth. But we have a nation, as Pat Buchanan said, we have a nation that's hooked on cheap goods.
That's the point. There was a time we didn't need all these products. We made our own.
We didn't need all this product, yep.
But now that's not true.
It's not true. And he says, once a nation is hooked on the cheap goods that are the narcotic free trade, narcotic free trade provides, it is rarely able to break free. The loss of its economic independence is followed by the loss of its political independence, the loss of its greatness, and ultimately the loss of its national identity. You know,
already happened. We know that.
Yeah.
That's about already happened.
So can we, once we're hooked on drugs, look what happens to people when they go through withdrawal. It isn't pleasant, and the same thing will happen here. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know what, we'll go through some hard times in order to get back our country.
But I don't see it coming back. Not the way you and I knew it. Not when America was independent and took care of herself. I don't see that happening.
Correct.
You know, I would like for it to happen. I really would like to see it happen. But it's not happening that way. Our infrastructure couldn't even maintain now anyway. We couldn't afford to rebuild it. I know people want to hear that, but Melody, it's the truth. Have you ever been by the steel mills that not too many years ago were booming and growing? Have you been by some of these empty steel mills?
Of course.
I mean, it breaks your heart. And there's no way, unless somebody invested billions and billions of dollars, to get that back up to what it once was. And that would take a lot of time, a lot of money we don't have as a nation.
It isn't the investment of the billions and billions of dollars. It's who around the world is going to pay for higher prices.
That's it. That's the point.
You know, because people can't afford higher prices, not just here, but all your corporations. Look at what your cell phones cost now. You want to pay more? I mean, they got us buffaloed into paying $1,000 or more for a telephone. For a quote-unquote smartphone.
I can remember when that was a big price for a car.
Yeah.
You know? Really.
Yeah.
But see, we have a world economy now. We didn't have that back in you and I grew up necessarily. Back in the 50s and 60s, we were independent. Most nations were more or less independent themselves. But today, we're all intertwined, interlinked, and the one that makes the products the cheapest is the one that has most of the business. China. There you go. And America is used to that. We're used to getting stuff imported here for pennies on the dollar. You know what it would be if we made it here. So I don't see a way around that. I wish I did see a way around it, but I don't see it coming back. I just don't.
Will it help some? Will it help some industry? Maybe. But the key here now is what is China, and is this going to be the same as the NAFTA? Very little was changed in the NAFTA. Ratified yet.
That's true.
And so is this big hullabaloo? I don't know. We have to read it once it gets passed. But, again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not bashing President Trump. I'm just reading between the lines and saying, hey, you know, where are we? Where are we going? And how is this going to help? And is it going to help? I guess it won't hurt.
I don't know. It might hurt.
It might hurt.
I mean, but we're talking about farmers.
And are we so desperate that we need those few billions of dollars compared to everything else? Is just not a whole lot. But are we so desperate that we need that money?
Well, it's,
to keep the GDP up at so government can keep spending. So our GDP is 3.2%. So, you know, hey, it's great to have a 3.2%, but I'd like to see a 3.2% without government spending.
Yes.
I'd like to see that spending coming from the consumer. But anyway.
Well, that's when government does, it's very artificial. It's not lasting. And that's the point. But I do want to mention farmers again. I know you're talking about them, but the farmers are really feeling the pain in different ways. And this is out of Des Moines, Iowa. The China's announcement Monday of higher tariffs on $60 billion of American exports, retaliation for President Donald Trump's latest penalties on Chinese goods, hit particularly hard in the Farm Belt. China's vast consumer market has been a vital source of revenue for American farmers. Since December, when the U.S. and China negotiators called a truce to tariffs, began signaling that an agreement might be reached. Now, folks, they've been talking about agreements since December. Soybean farmers have been holding out hope that sales to China would resume, said Todd Holtman, an Omaha-based grain market analyst with a agriculture market data provider, DTN. In the meantime, the farmers have been storing a record stockpile of nearly 1 billion bushels. A slowdown in soybean sales and the huge stockpiles that result has a ripple effect. Farmers in many parts of the Corn Belt have suffered from a wet and cooler spring, which has prevented them from planting corn. Typically, when it becomes too late to plant corn, farmers will once again plant soybeans, which can grow later in the fall before harvest is required. Yet now, planting soybeans, with the overabundance already in bins and scant hope for sales to one of the biggest buyers in China, could raise the risk of financial disaster. This is the fifth year of low prices, basically, for crops, Holman said. I think time is just wearing us out. Brent Coy of Grant, Nebraska, said many farmers like him appear to be facing only oblique alternatives for planting. There's just not a lot of people can do, Glory said. You're looking at a late corn planting through part of the Corn Belt. They wouldn't normally go to soybeans. Man, it's just a mess. On Monday, Trump had told reporters that a new program to relieve U.S. farmers' pain is being devised and predicted that they will be very happy. Looks like they're planning to put out $11 billion to the farmers to cover the losses. Melly, that's a fake economy. That's taxpayers bailing the farmers out. And of all people I like to bail out, those are the least of mine, the least. But if the government's got to finance farming, then farmers are not making money, are they?
No, we talked about this yesterday, you know, for the additional billions of dollars that are going to the farmers. And, you know, you already have two politicians signing up to get some of that money. And it's just like it's really, they're shameless. It's disgusting. But hey. You know, so the $11 billion, how much did we get from the tariffs that we increased tariffs? So now we have $11 billion now, $13 billion before. So, you know, to me, it's a wash.
Have you ever slopped hogs any time in your life? You ever been on a farm where they slopped hogs? We call it slopping hogs, feed the hogs.
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, we used to raise hogs. And if you want to see a mess, you dump the food in the trough and then see how fast they put their heads in up to their eyeballs almost, getting enough food. You know what that reminds me of? Politicians and money.
Yep.
I mean, it really does. They almost lay sideways in the trough to hold the food back. Politicians are the same way. As a whole, they're the same way.
Wow. Yep.
What can I say? Just it is what it is. You know, and the farmers, bless their hearts, are having a hard time planting. They've had a terrible spring. Now, this is coming down. Maybe, perhaps, Trump will be able to help bail them out. But, again, that's only temporary. How long has the government been putting money into the farmers to keep them going right now? How long have there been farm subsidies? Just so farmers could keep the lights on. How many years now, Melody, has that been going on?
You know, I thought that China was increasing their purchases of soybean. So mm-hmm. I don't know why we have to add more.
Well, according to this, the tariffs are going to kill the buying from China for soybeans. And they stockpiled a bunch of them, like I said, over a billion bushels because they expected to sell them. Now they're laying in the bins and nobody's buying them.
Well, I'll tell you what. The other day I was in the store buying tomatoes, and this has become my pet peeve. When we talked about the article last week about Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they provide half of our tomatoes, and they're threatening to put subsidies on those where it would increase our tomatoes. And you know what? I went to buy some tomatoes, and I'm looking at all these, you know, where Mexico. And
yeah,
it just got my goat. You know, Canada. It's like, I can't find anything here in the U.S. It's like, what's wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen? It's
I have an article here, actually, about that. And you may cover it a little bit, but, you know, Florida, the state of Florida raises a lot of tomatoes. And they are wanting this tariff so they can sell more tomatoes themselves, which would be wonderful if that's the way it worked. But I don't know how that's going to be, but the Florida has put pressure on the government to do this for a while. But it says unfair market advantage coming from Mexico with the tomatoes. They can't sell them as cheap.
True. Hey, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our newsletter. I don't even want to say that when Butch is on the phone.
I still haven't got it, but that's okay.
But you know, I'll send you mine private one. I don't know why. I told them to add you to the list, so somebody's going to get fired for not doing that.
Don't be that mean. It's all right.
DGS, well, I'll have to send you mine. dgscoins.com. You can go to the website, too, and sign up.
Well, I could do that. Yes.
Yeah. DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com. And hey, ladies and gentlemen, buy on the dip. You have a $3 dip today. So give us a call. We got the same great specials going on. And we'll keep the price held for as long as we can. We saw gold go up, what, $14, $13 yesterday? And I'm still quoting prices at the old price. So what a deal. Even though it came back $3 today, you're still getting it at the, you know, the $12.87 price. So
that's an excellent deal. And by the way, you're talking about tomatoes a minute ago, but, you know, Florida used to be the main industry that would sold tomatoes in this nation all year round. You know that. They used to be the place you got tomatoes from. But over the last 15, 20 years, Mexico took that over. So if this actually happens, tomato prices are going to go up.
Yeah,
and I love a good tomato.
And that's the problem. You get these tomatoes from these countries, they're not even good. There's like eating an apple anymore. The skin is so tough. You know, they're not juicy. And they're not even good anymore.
Well, thank goodness that gardening time is here. We can have our own here pretty soon.
Yes.
You know, and fresh apples on the trees. I mean, our apple crop is just, it should be beautiful. The trees are in full bloom, and apples are coming on. So it should be a good year, but that's a couple months away yet.
All right. Well, anyway, what's next?
Well, I did want to. Now, this is up in the air whether it's true or not. But according to an article that the U.S. plans to deploy 120,000 troops to the Middle East if Iran attacks American forces. Now, Trump says this isn't true, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, but this is according to the New York Times. So I'm not going to say it's not that out Trump's word, mind you, but sometimes things happen they don't want to know. It's supposed to be top secret. But apparently, Saudi Arabia said that they've been attacked by drones, and some sources say this is a false flag. And Melody, I wouldn't doubt that. I do believe America. I know Israel wants to go to war with Iran. And I'm surprised it hasn't already affected oil prices any more than it already has. Saudi Arabia said, you know, that they've been attacked with drones and they're supposed to shut down a pipeline for a while because of that. So I just wonder if this is a false flag to get us over there into Iran. They've been wanting to sit there for a long time. And any kind of disruption in the Middle East is going to cost us more money. I mean, tomatoes go up 70%, gas goes up another who knows what. If this really happens and there's war in the Gulf, what could that do to our prices at the fuel pumps?
Well, if there's war in the Gulf, it isn't going to be like the Iraq war.
No, it's not.
And I have to ask myself, you know, I mentioned the Yemen war. And I talk about, you know, how Congress did try to stop the funding to the Saudis, and it was vetoed by President Trump. And they've been fighting this war in Yemen for, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yep.
My question is, and the Houthis are supposed to be backed by Iran, so my question is, they're putting up a pretty good fight if they can't beat the Saudis, backed by the U.S., not only with our dollars, but also our intelligence. And this thing is still going on. So how hard are they, you know, if we go to war with Iran, it's not going to be a cake in the walk in the park.
Close enough. No, it's not.
Close enough.
It's a lot bigger country than it's a huge country, and I mean America is so stretched so thin right now in so many different areas. Oh, we're still in Afghanistan, still fighting war there. How many years now? How many years we've been in Afghanistan? Longer than I remember. And it's not even mentioned anymore, is it?
No, they took the information out of the news.
You never hear it. You never hear what's going on. So,
anyway, with Syria.
Well, if war breaks out in the Middle East, Americans are going to catch this time because the price is going to go up on gasoline and pain's going to start happening, I do believe. And I don't know when it's all going to come together. But I think some huge things could happen between now and election time, for sure. And that's not that far away anymore. It's a little over a year away. A lot of things could happen between now and then, for a lot of reasons, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, movements, whatever. A lot of things could happen to defame him, or may happen to make him look better.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's scary.
It is scary, and I said this for a couple times. I mean, I do believe by 2020 we will be in a war. That is my prediction. I'm not saying it's going to be with Iran, but I really do believe we will be in a war by 2020.
Well, I might ask a question. Go ahead.
So, and, you know, from the early 90s, I've heard every presidential election, oh my gosh, so-and-so is going to call a state of emergency and they're going to postpone the election.
Oh,
of course,
yes.
That was always on the second term, never on the first term. It was always the second term to keep them in office a little bit longer. Every president since the 90s, early 90s, I can actually see it happening now. And I always poo-pooed it. No, that ain't going to happen. You know, it comes up every year and da-da-da-da-da. I could see it happening this time.
Well, the question I had was, what classifies as a war? If you're losing one soldier or 10,000 soldiers, what classifies as a war? How many deaths does it take to say you're a war?
We have a tariff war and no one's dying yet.
No, I'm talking about, though, for a physical war. What classifies a war? I mean, losing one soldier in the Middle East, would you say that's we're at war if an IUD takes somebody out or a sniper gets somebody? I mean, people think about war, and it's true that it could be hundreds of thousands fighting and tens of thousands dying. But if troops over there fighting on any level, is that not a conflict?
Yes, it is.
I mean, we are at war in a lot of different places right now. Conflicts, you want to call them, whatever you want to call them. When people shoot each other, I call it war. And whether it happens, no matter what the scale of it is, it's still war. And we're at war in a lot of different places right now with different nations. And we're funding a lot more than we're involved in directly as of right now, including Venezuela. You know that too.
Yeah, that's out of the news too. Now that Maduro was able to fight off the attack, not a peep.
And I saw that Guaido said, Guaido, how do you pronounce your last name? Guaido?
Guaido? I pronounce it Guaido.
Guaido, whatever. Asked for our military to back him. Did you see that?
What do you mean, whatever? It's Guaido.
I don't know. It's spelled
whatever.
It's spelled different. But
I told you. Whatever.
But
go ahead.
But anyway, he asked for some troops to back him, U.S. troops to back him. This is on ABC News night before last. He asked for U.S. troops to back him in trying to take this country over. Well, what's happened to him? He disappeared from the picture. I don't hear anything about him anymore. If there's any riots, I haven't heard anything about it. Have you?
No, like I said, it's been very quiet coming from Venezuela.
So, I mean, did all of a sudden did that die off? Is everybody happy all of a sudden? What? It's really odd how you can build these stories up and make them number on the front page for a week or two, and then all of a sudden they leave the screen altogether. That's really amazing. The news media really manipulates this country, like you would play a deck of cards. They just play it that way. That's how they do it. And get attention in one place and do something else in another place and move on. So, I don't know. I like what's happening in Venezuela. I mean, is Maduro now under in complete control? Is everybody happy with him? What's going on here?
Not to change the topic.
That's
as
all
we're
right.
heading into. But did you know Tim Conway died?
Yes, I did. I did hear that.
Oh, I know. He was such a wonderful actor, comedian. I saw that now.
Yeah, I watched him in a few shows, and even on Carol Burnett Show years ago, and he did heavy role in laughing.
Oh, yeah. He's so funny. I'll never forget the one with Tim Conway and Corman. Harvey Corman. Harvey Corman was sitting in the dentist chair.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. That was
Tim
the best.
Conway
that was the best.
And he goes to give him a Novocaine shot, and he's old, and he hits his arm, and the next thing his arm goes numb. So he goes up, and he goes back to get another needle, and he comes in, and he goes to bends over to give Corman another shot, and he slips it, and it hits his leg. So now his leg is numb, and he's dragging his leg, and his arm is limp, and he's going to get another shot. And the funny thing about it is Harvey Corman is in the chair, just rolling and
he's
laughter.
Rolling there, yeah. And then you hit yourself in the head. I mean. Oh, that was hilarious. I was laughing hard. I had a hard time watching. That was hilarious.
Oh,
it really was.
That humor is no longer found anywhere.
You see, no vulgarity, nothing,
nope,
just humor.
Nothing. Just and you laughed, and it tickled you, and it was fun, and you're right. It wasn't sexual. It was great.
No curse words, no nothing.
And look where and today we can't have humor.
No.
We can't have what's the humor today? You know, even the Johnny Carson programs, they never got political. Now all the late night programs are all political, and they think just by bashing President Trump it's funny. And it's like, really?
That and promoting immorality and everything else you can
yes.
think of is hilarious. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
They think it's hilarious.
I happen to turn on. I don't watch a lot of TV. I just don't. It's okay, but I've run into a channel called the Folk Channel. It had Red Skelton on. Do you remember Red Skelton?
Remember Red Skeleton?
Yeah, Skelton. Yeah, Skelton. Skelton.
Skelton.
It was just corny, clean humor. But something changed over the last 20, 30, 40 years, Melody. That you can't watch. I don't watch mainline TV. I can't stand it. If I watch it on TV, it's usually a history show or something educational. I'm not interested in what they call sitcoms anymore. They're all full of filth and sex and things that you just wouldn't believe will be allowed on TV, period. But it is in America today. So, yeah, I'm going to miss Tim Conway's humor. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm not retired,
yeah.
But he's gone. He's an era passed away.
Yeah, and I think we lost Doris Day this
week
also.
We did, yes. Yeah, we lost some good ones over the last few years.
Yeah. Okay, sera, sera.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there you go. I mean, we lost John Wayne. I'm about ready to quit, you know. I mean, anyway. So, but it is sad. It's a different generation. They're going away. And I don't want to say this making anybody feel bad, but this newer generation makes me sick to my stomach. What they call entertainment and how they act. It just makes me sick to my stomach.
The only reason they act that way is because of their parents. So if you want to put blame anywhere, it's the parents.
Of course.
And it all stems from our generation, Butch.
It does. It does.
So we're all the ones to blame. And it's from generation to the next. You know, the children act the way they're taught.
Well, it's just like the way they brought in welfare and Social Security and all that. It started Social Security, a good idea, supposedly, government interference for jobs under Roosevelt. And come forth, look what it is today. You let the evil take an inch, it'll take it all.
Yep.
And that's what's happened.
And that's
each generation fell shorter, that's all.
Yeah. And, you know, God bless Trump for trying, but what else? It can't be reversed.
No, it's too late now for that.
It's too late.
You know, and I know we're not talking about gold and silver now, but it is a lost period in time that will never come back. What you and I experienced as youngins in this country. It's the first book I wrote. I wrote a chapter in the 50s, the last generation of innocence, and it's sad, but it's true. That's what I come down to. Now, do you want to change topics?
Well, I'm not even sure the 50s was the last generation of innocence.
Well, look what happened
maybe
in the 60s.
Compared to today.
Yeah, well, I mean, look what happened in the 60s. I'm saying.
I mean, you have to go back to 1839 for
Oh yeah, that's true. But we went from dream to Woodstock.
Yeah, '50s and '60s.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and girls actually wore dresses to yeah, exactly. Girls in the '50s had to wear dresses to school, and boys had to wear shirts and had to be tucked in. The collars could be turned up. Had to have haircuts. That was the rules.
Those were the rules. But everything gets redefined.
Yeah, of course it does. And how dare you impose your judgment on me, your point of view on me? How dare you?
So now we have no rules. We have no regulations. It's a love fest, and it's free for all. And I'm going to do what feels good today at this moment.
Yep.
Who cares about anything else?
One of the articles of my next book coming up will be out here in a couple months. SIN, sin, self-indulgent narcissist. Sin is selfish. It's all about me. I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to enjoy myself. If it hurts my wife, my children, my family, whatever, I don't care. That's self-indulgent narcissist. That's what a sinner is. So that's just the way it is. Now, I'd like to share something, if you don't mind, which I thought was kind of...
Go right ahead.
You already saw this, I'm sure. You know that Amazon wants to buy their employees out. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know you already shared this. If you did, tell me. But the new machines... They're putting in new machines. They're known as a carton wrap from Italian firm CMC SRL. Packs much faster than humans. They crank out 600 to 700 boxes per hour, or 4 or 5 times the rate of a human packer, the sources said. The machines require one person to load customer orders, another to stock cardboard and glue, and a technician to fix the jams on occasion. Including other machines known as the Smart Pack, which the company rolled out recently to mail items in patented envelopes, Amazon's technology suite will be able to automate a majority of its human packers. 5 rows of workers at a facility can turn that into 2. One more time. 5 rows of workers at a facility can turn into 2, supplemented by 2 GMC machines and 1 Smart Pack, the person said. Amazon is not alone in testing CMC's packing technology. JDCom.com. Incorporated and Shutterfly Inc. have used the machines as well. The company said, as has Walmart Incorporated, according to a person familiar with the pilot. This is the goal, it said. We want a lights-out warehouse. We want lights-out in warehouses. We don't want to have to pay people to pack them. So they're going to pay the people $10,000 or $15,000 to get out and maybe start their own delivery business for Amazon, but they want the warehouses closed and the people out. Now, that's a great goal, isn't it?
Yep. One of those billionaires, I don't know if it was Bezos or Elon, one of them said, hey, there's going to be 1 trillion people living in Mars, space.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today.
complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I guess two homes owned by the South Carolina governor burned. Arson is suspected. So, kind of interesting. Yeah.
Well, wonder what got them fired up about that. That wasn't meant to be a pun. But I wonder what got them all excited about burning down somebody's house.
Are you pulling a Tim Conway on now?
Well, I wish I was that
good. I don't know. It was the fire that damaged two homes near the University of South Carolina. They're investigating it as arson, and they're looking for the guy. And that's all the info that happened this morning, so not a lot of details. Let's see. I can see if there's any other interesting things. Everybody got out safely, of course. There were a lot of people in the homes. And I don't know if they were, I'm assuming they're rentals. So
I'll share this way.
And I'll tell you what, now these two houses, you know, when you think that it's being owned by the governor, Henry McMaster, and you know, you think of his homes being fancy schmancy and so forth, you know, being the governor, but these must be rentals. And I'll tell you what, just from the picture they're showing the guy that they are suspected that did this, and it shows the front porch and so forth, I'll tell you what, it looks like it doesn't look like a very nice place. It looks like a rental, and it doesn't look like he does a lot of work to keep it up. But hey, I'm just saying.
Well,
anyway, let's
obviously
go on.
He doesn't live there, obviously.
He doesn't live there, so go ahead.
I want to share this because this is amazing to me, and I do enjoy watching history, and I enjoy watching things. There's a series out entitled "The Man That Built America," and it started up, of course, back in the 1800s up to the 1900s of the, I guess you call them, money. Powers of run the country, basically. And, you know, like Rockefellers and Morgans and Carnegies and others, who come in and built the car industry, the steel industry, the oil industry. All this was amazing. And back when there was no regulation at all, on the power of corporations, they treated them in and people worked for them pretty shabby, to say the least. But the point of the story is, J.P. Morgan was really cutthroat. His daddy wasn't so bad. His daddy was trying to restrain some things from going through, but he got killed in a carriage accident, a horse carriage accident, and it turned his son took over the business, and he was very, very cutthroat in a lot of different ways. And Carnegie wasn't much better. He covered it up better, but Morgan decided he wanted to have Carnegie Steel. Carnegie made money with steel industry, of course, and that was run pretty shabbily. Carnegie left the country, went to Scotland. He had his head manager named Frigg run it, and he was very cutthroat. I mean, they finally had him assassinated. But nonetheless, Morgan wanted to buy Carnegie out so he'd run the whole shebang, basically, and he did. He offered Carnegie $428 million. Now, Melody, that's a lot of money. That's a huge sum. But when compared to the day's money system, money worth, in today's money, it'll be $400 billion. From $428 million back when it was backed by gold, it's now inflated to the point. I said inflated to $400 billion. That's more than Gates and Buffett combined have. Carnegie was the richest man in the world for a while. So imagine that, $428 billion in 1910-15 was worth $400 billion today. Now, how much inflation is that, Melody, that's eating up our dollars worth? How much inflation is that? I mean, think about that. That is amazing. My mind can't even grasp that idea. That's amazing.
That's quite a bit. But it's a good example. It's a good example of, you know, what has happened over this period of time. And, you know, most of that revaluation was after they, you know, took us off all
That's
the...
That's right.
You know, if you go back to... What year was that in?
That was around 1915.
If you go to 1930, it's not going to be that much difference.
No.
You know, probably if you go all the way up to 1950, you probably didn't see a lot of inflation in there. You know, it was probably pretty much the same. But after they finally closed the window and took us off the silver, that's when the numbers started to increase.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
But you probably saw this too. Californians, the next fire season comes up. PG&E, you know, the power company. And by the way, it's bankrupt. Mm-hmm. You know that too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, this summer, when the weather is bad and winds pick up, they're going to turn off electricity. I'm not making this up. As a result of a new plan to cut power on high wind days during wildfire season, millions of Californians could be wound up unprepared and in the darkness. Now bankrupt PG&E proposed the precautionary plan after a transmission line that snapped in windy weather likely started last year's campfire, the deadliest wildfire in state history. The plan addresses the problem of wildfires but creates another one in process, blindsiding Californians with days of blackouts. This has caused some California residents to turn to some home battery systems and alternative means of power in their homes. However, the number of these systems in use is relatively small when compared to 5.4 million customers of PG&E currently services. Governor Gavin Newsom has said that he is budgeting $75 million to help communities deal with the threat. Money, this is turning to a third world system. It's an odd nation. Blackouts? I mean, for whatever reason, the power's off, the power's off, right?
Well, yeah, but it's by choice, not by infrastructure damage or anything like that. But
PG&E is infrastructure,
though. I don't know how that's going to prevent forest fires.
Well, PG&E's transmission line is what snapped and started the fire. So it's the infrastructure as far as PG&E, the company, they didn't have the money to maintain their power lines and their equipment.
Yeah.
So it caused the fire. So this is infrastructure. It may be private, maybe perhaps, but still infrastructure. So when they close, turn the power down because we're afraid of starting fires, 5.4 million people might be without power.
Well,
I just don't think about it.
It won't affect Silicon Valley, will it?
No, I don't suppose.
Yeah, well, I guess not. Probably won't, you know. So I don't know how they can turn it off in the summer when it's hot.
I don't know how they could
be selective. I mean, hospitals and so forth, you know, they still need their power and everything. Businesses need their power.
Well, time will tell.
I don't know how they can actually do that.
I don't either. I just know what they said.
I mean, I do know sometimes when there have been, you know, they might do it, sometimes if there's perhaps a big draw, you know, heat and, you know, California was exceptionally high and, you know, everybody's turning the air conditioning on at once and so forth. And, you know, it draws on the system, you know, it goes down, but I don't know how they can just say, hey, we're just going to turn the power off.
We'll know in the future. I don't know. It's just what the article said, and it no matter what the reason may be, if they do it, it is scary, and that is a sign that infrastructure is just being destroyed.
It's not just infrastructure being destroyed. It's control.
Of course it is. That's the whole...
It's control.
Isn't that true?
People have no more... It's a prime example.
Yes.
We can't say anything. We can't do anything. We're
at
their mercy. Oh, we're not allowed to have our own power sources. We can't have our own, we can't put a little windmill in our backyard. Oh my gosh, there's so many HOAs out there.
Yep.
It's just
Well, California, as you already know, is hurting. California is a, I guess, what the sanctuary state, right?
Correct.
For illegals. Well, you may have saw this. If you did, please let me know. I just found this morning. I thought it was interesting. Oakland, city of Oakland, is called a sanctuary city. It's so near broke that they're using gas taxes to keep the lights on the streets. They take gasoline tax now. The city of Oakland is in such dire financial straits that it is planning to use $2.9 million from state gas tax revenues to keep the city's lights on rather than using the money to fix pothole-riddled roads. for which the funding was intended. And they said it's unconstitutional for the in this California Constitution to use these funds for this, but they're doing it anyway. So they're letting roads go, taking the tax money to keep the lights on, but they're still giving generous benefits to illegal aliens.
And to pensioners.
Oh, yeah. How long can the taxpayers maintain this? How long would they even want to?
When they'll do it until they're hungry, I guess. Who knows?
Well, I can imagine it can go on to the point of taking tax revenue, and of course, taxpayers are paying anyway. They're buying gasoline. But what would they tap next when that is no longer sufficient? Raise property taxes? Probably.
Absolutely.
You know? And now it's getting so bad on the border that ICE is flying illegals from South Texas, McAllen, Texas, to Del Rio. ISIS are flying illegal aliens from the south of the border, from the southern border, further into the state, because there's no place to keep them on the border. They're too full. At a cost of $120 per person on the planes, what taxpayers pay, $16,000 a load, to fly illegals further in state so they can find a place to keep them. What do you think about that? Flying them in.
It's not the first time. They've been doing it for a long time. I can remember reading that same article back in the 90s where they were taking they were flying them back, which is what they should be doing, is flying them back to their own country and, you know, in pretty nice conditions and everything. So, flying them into this country is, you know, certainly a little different.
Well, that certainly died off the news too, didn't it?
It did.
Well, that was a big hot issue for a while. Now it's going. I don't hear anything about the wall. Trump trying to fund the wall. No more clashes. Except through different sources. I don't hear about on ABC or CBS or any of the rest of them about clashes on the border. So does that mean it's all solved and it's all went away? Of course not. That's just not the topic right now.
What happened to all these caravans?
That's exactly right. Where are they at? You know,
where's Fox News?
It's bad now that a judge in Florida has ordered them to print the ballots in Spanish. I mean, for the 2020 election, said the judge agreed with a group of voters born in Puerto Rico who said the lack of Spanish ballots limited their access to polls. The English-only ballots are a violation of the Voting Rights Act. Really? Compliance with this order is not optional, wrote Chief Judge Mark Walker, the Northern District of Florida, Gainesville Division, according to Fox News. This court will not hesitate to use every tool the law provides to enforce this order. So now we've got to start printing ballots in foreign languages. Why not do it in Japanese or Korean or Chinese? Aren't they here too? Why just Spanish? Now this makes me angry. If you're going to be here, learn to read and speak English. Is that fair?
You know, these businesses just compensate for, you know, them not having you do so. When I get something from my health insurance company, like if, you know, every time if you for a physical or something, I get 8 pages. 8 pages of paper. The one side is English.
Yes.
And every other page is in a different language. And I'm thinking to myself, well, here's one reason my health care cost is so high. It just irritates me.
I don't
need 8-7 pages in foreign languages telling them the same. It's my bill. Why does it have to be converted to other languages? I speak English. I read English. I don't need all those other English languages. It's just like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, live in this country, you walk into major stores. I don't care, Walmart or Lowe's, wherever it is. You see posts in Spanish and English. You've seen that, haven't you?
What?
When you walk in the stores, they have signs up posted in Spanish and English.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I went to Mexico last couple years ago in Tijuana. They had Spanish signs up. And then there have been some English here and there, but they didn't see to it that everything's written in English underneath the Spanish.
Yep.
If you live in Mexico, they expect you to speak Spanish. I mean, that's only right.
Even though many of them probably do speak English. I mean, just like you go to Europe.
A lot of them do, yeah.
You go to Europe, but I mean, Europe is a little bit of a different country. It's not the, you know, it's, you know, but they teach their children three languages right off the bat. I mean, you got 3 years olds that are learning. When we went to Italy, we were told, you know, the children learn German, English, and their native. Those are the three languages that they learn on when they're 3, 4, 5 years old.
That's amazing. It is.
And most people over here can't even speak English.
And I know you're talking about me. Go ahead, say it.
No,
go ahead and say it.
No, not at all.
Oh, my.
I can include myself in there sometimes.
Well, you know, two more quick stories. Alaska is hurting for oil revenues. So they're going to stop funding ferries that take people to islands where there's no other access but by boat or by plane. And that people can't afford to take planes, so they're going to cut funding for that because their oil revenues are down. So this is affecting not just in the lower 48. And in California, near Hollywood, people are living in pods, P-O-D-S, pods. They rent a room with other people. They have a bunk in it. They're down to the point where they don't need a backpack. They have two sets of clothes, all they need to say, one to clean, one to wear. They rent a desk to work at for the jobs, wherever it is. So, and they say that because they're voluntarily homeless, they like it that way and what they're living. Anyway, I'll shut up. Time's up.
No, you know, that's great information. I appreciate you sharing it with the listeners. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.